section. All right. That I may know him. We're coming to that section in Philippians that may very well be and should be seen as the heart of this little letter, that I may know him. And that's written by somebody that knows him and has known him for some time at that point in time. Yet he's saying that I may know him. There's something more. Yeah. There's further to go. Thank you, friend. That'll pick it up a little bit better. That I may know him. I want to do a slow little walkthrough of chapter 3 of Philippians, so please join me there. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, those religious ones that just rip and tear without concern for people. Beware of the evil workers. Again, they pose themselves as workers of God, but they're not. Beware of the false circumcision, bad wording. It is the word for mutilation. Beware of the mutilators. It has to do with circumcision, but not a circumcision that gains ground with God whatsoever. And so he says, we are the true circumcision, relating back to Ezekiel that talks about the circumcision of the heart. Not something of the flesh, not a religious duty, but something that changes before God, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now he's going to flash his credentials. Although I might myself have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has the mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more so. Whoa. What do you mean, Paul? From the Hebrew line, the Jewish line, circumcised the eighth day, count it off, check it off, of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. And I step back and I say, whoa. I cannot relate to that. This guy has made the grade. And then he throws in there, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And the word for knowing there, the Greek word, is a relational, experiential knowing of him. Not a head knowledge. Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. He has Christ, but he's on track. He's on in a direction, and he's growing in Christ, that I may know him and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. My righteousness is what I had to work before, had to work with before. I flash it as credentials and say, it's nothing. Like Isaiah said, it's as filthy rags. It doesn't amount to anything. It's a loss. But that I may have that righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness, that comes by faith. He addressed that in chapter 1. Look back at chapter 1 for a moment. Verse 10, we'll step in. Verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge, knowing something for what it really is, and all discernment, that we can grow. Think you've arrived somewhere knowing God today? Great. Don't be satisfied there. Don't be a stalemate there. Don't plateau out to there. There is so much more. That you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Verse 11, having been filled with the fruit, the results, the evidence of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness. Mm-hmm. To the glory and praise of God. And then in chapter 3, he says, not a righteousness that is of me, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him. Paul, in his letters, was, I think, pretty instrumental in encouraging people to walk the walk of faith toward Christ and in Christ. He was not the only author in the New Testament that tells us to, this is the way, walk in it, right? Pretty motivational. I urge you, therefore, brethren. And Peter has similar language in 1 Peter, encouraging people to walk that walk. A lot of the people in Judaism were told to keep this list, check off list, perform, 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 perform. In our Christianity today, it's really not a whole lot different. Though the details are a little different. Perform, 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 perform. Several weeks ago when we were in this topic, I shared with you, you know, those that think, oh, there's that guy. Now that's a good Baptist. Or whatever, fill in the blank. Why? Outward performance. Let's set that aside at least for the moment to consider what Paul is saying here. He is not motivating people to be a good Baptist, a good Pentecostal, good this, a good that, a good anything, but to know him. We have, in working with children, contests. Sword drill. Anybody ever heard of a sword drill? What's a sword drill for? This is the sword. Exodus 2:13, go. Oh, I got it. Wow, what a good Christian. I came out of a church that encouraged scripture memory. I like scripture memory. I encourage scripture memory. It comes back and grabs us. The Holy Spirit does that. And then we had the contests. Psalm 119, for instance. Are you kidding me? 176 verses? Really? You memorized that? Wow, what a good Christian. All that I count loss for the sake of Christ, that I may know him. Wow. You knocked on how many doors this week? You handed out how many Bible tracts? You know what I'm saying? We go on and on. Nothing wrong with any of those things. It's not going to get you to heaven, though. And we look at Christianity and Jesus even as fire insurance to stay out of hell. It's one of the reasons I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I didn't know that he was investing life in me. Absolutely, I don't want to go to hell. But that I may know him. He wants relationship with me and has invested himself in me to relate to him, that I may know him. I would look at Paul and say, man, that guy, theologian, scholar, I mean, put it out there. This is Paul. And he says, no, that I may know him. You tracking? That I may know him. Not that I can now successfully pray for 1 hour a day. That I may know him. This is meant to be personal. This is the heart. You can draw a heart right here in Philippians. This is what it's about. He wasn't like this in most of the other books that he wrote. The Philippian church seems like a good group of people. Some of the others were and some were not. But he's just bearing his heart. We get to see Paul's credentials and he says, forget that. That I may know him. And verse 10, know the power of his resurrection. And it is the emphasis on the power that resurrected him. That power of God that came into the Apostle Paul's life. His journey was not a fun one on the way to Damascus. You read about it in Acts 9. Where he spent 3 days and three nights afterward in blindness, not eating or drinking, but just thinking. All of the pieces that God's word had invested in his brain that were wrongly put together. He was finally able to put together. And immediately after those 3 days, started preaching that Jesus Christ is Messiah in Damascus. Wow. He knew it. That power that raised him out of spiritual death and gave him spiritual life, that is power. Resurrection power. That I may know him and the power that raised him from the dead that is in him, Ephesians 3:20. That power that is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ever ask or think, which is at work in us currently. It's a freeing up of me, the person inside this shell, to be about the business of the Lord, empowered though by him, not keeping a documented tally list. The power of his resurrection gives us wisdom at times to help somebody over a hump. It gives us the compassion to come alongside and truly relate. The resurrection power is life that can come out from our being, but our mouth verbally to share with somebody else how they can know him. It is not me in a fleshly way doing my thing. It is God saying, you're my instrument. Yet Paul even backs up and says, that I may know him. And that power of his resurrection. And that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. And it is not, I am confident that Paul is saying, man, I can't wait to suffer some more. I don't think he liked pain any more than you. And yet, part of the gig is there's going to be suffering. And it's with Christ. Huh. He was confronted with that by Jesus himself. The question was, Saul, what's the rest of the question? Why are you persecuting me? Jesus is talking to him. Who is Saul persecuting? The fellowship of his suffering. It's a commonness. It's an experience that he is engaged with us. And Paul knows that. I'm willing because it's part of it. not optional. Do I like it? No. Do I go looking for it? Why? It's going to come to me. Wow. That I may know him and the power that raised him from the dead and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's not about Paul dying in this life so he's buried. It is about Paul. Here it is. Jesus died for sin. Romans tells us to die to sin. There's a death that takes place that is a work of God, that isn't this body falling over, but it's the old flesh falling over. There is a death that God is wanting me to experientially go through, I think, day by day, choice by choice, so the life of Christ can be even more enlarged in me, at work in me. Because some of that old stuff hanging on, it's kind of keeping me anchored down. Death to things like anger, bitterness, various kind of lusts, and it's across the map. Covetousness and lust are no different. It just depends on the context. Death. That tells me there's something inside of me still that he wants to deal with. That's application. Because Paul's saying that about himself. Yes, Lord, what's next? Go back to chapter 1 again. Verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it till the day of Christ Jesus. Whew! I'm his project. You come to chapter 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a walking of that. You're not trying to earn it. It is, you have it, so walk it out. Verse 13, rest of the sentence. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Where do I start? Verse 14. Stop grumbling. Stop grumbling and complaining. But wait, it's just not fair. Right. So, huh. But God, you don't know. Excuse me. Huh. It's God at work. It's me in cooperation. Hallelujah for that. And Paul in his meditative place right here saying that I might know him. We've come thus far and I want to go further. By the way, please, please, please. He's not getting more saved than he had been. He is as saved as he'll ever be. But he wants to be closer and closer. Keep going with him in chapter 3. Being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is some odd and difficult wording here in the Greek language. And here's why. The word for resurrection here is unique right here. It's not the same word elsewhere in the New Testament. And it is literally an out resurrection out of the dead. Okay, Paul. Sorry you didn't spend a little time here and explain this. Left up to the commentaries and the thinkers, what did he mean by an out resurrection out of death? but he kind of explains himself as he goes on. Not that I've already obtained it. He's not talking about a resurrection after he's in the grave. He's talking about coming out of something that he's been in, that has been part of the death of this world, that I may come out of that, being conformed to his death, dying to self, dying to flesh, dying to those things that are not of him, and living for him, that I may be raised out of the death place. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. There it is again, that I may know him. I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ. He had his purpose in grabbing me. He has his purpose in grabbing you and anybody else that he grabs. And Paul is saying, I want that purpose. That's what I want. But if he stays shackled to this old thing, this world, these lusts, these covetous, if I stay shackled to those things, that, well, I'm just a fiery redhead. Well, so repent. What's your excuse? And whatever else might fill that gap. I want his purpose fulfilled in me. I haven't attained that yet. But I press on. I like to talk about some of my past accomplishments in regards to mountaineering, because it's such a delightful illustration. Climbing a mountain is miserable. Just miserable. I was miserable each time that I eventually ended up on top of Mount Shasta. I used to drive by that as a younger person saying, whoa, what? One day. Well, how many people say that? Get off your lazy tokus and go do it. Just get out of the car and do it? Well, I tried that once and made it halfway. Limped off the mountain. Serious. Little training, little preparation, little training, right? Getting ready to do that. And you get to that mountain, and it's miserable. You're carrying weight up that mountain, and you're thinking to yourself, why am I doing this again? This seems kind of stupid. That's a big old mountain. I've just started, just outside a horse camp. This guy named Oberlin lived in this rock building called Horse Camp. Oberlin had nothing else to do with his day, so he would go out for as long as he was caretaker there, and he would move rocks, big rocks, and put them in place one after another. There is a trail partway up Mount Shasta called Oberlin's Causeway. Nothing better to do than move rocks on a mountain. Golly, are you kidding me? But it's there for your seeing. Go check it out. You don't even have to climb the mountain to get to it. It's a little work to get to that too. You get past that and it's more miserable work. And you get to a place called Lake Helen, which melts in the summertime, and it's a little pond. Beyond that is the heart that faces Mount Shasta City. So you get a little geography there. You get around the heart, whichever way you're going to go, and get up through the Red Banks or go around the Red Banks. That's what you can see going down. And then you see what you think is the top. And that place affectionately called Misery Hill. And there's two more false tops after that. It's miserable. You see why I like to talk about it? How do you accomplish getting on top of that mountain? There's only one way, unless you're really rich. And that is, put the left foot down. Now lift the right foot, put it down again. Every time I've climbed the mountain, and there's other mountains we can talk about too, and I know some of you have done this sort of thing, so I'm not bragging about, I don't care. Every time I've had to look up and see a rock, I said, that's my goal. I'm going to make it to that rock and stop. Just for a breath, make it to that rock and stop, take a breath, or count 50 steps, or count 20 steps. Okay, set these goals, and then you're there. And it's unbelievable. I'm seeing Paul saying, I haven't attained that yet. But this thing I do, I press on. I press on. One more step ahead in life through the stuff. I press on. And I'm not dead yet. My body might be a bit more decrepit. Well, keep pressing on. What is it that God wants for you? His goal for you. Press on. So, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, that includes accomplishments. Look at what the Lord did through me back then. Great. What's going on today? That includes the miserable stuff that weighed you down. Forgetting what lies behind, because I'm living in today. I can waste my life away worrying about yesterday or bragging about yesterday. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And it's kind of a racing term, you guys. Our daughter Blossom lost a particular race that looked like an exact tie crossing that line. The girl had one hand slightly out in front. And they're trained to do that. That stretch, right? That's what he's saying. Reaching out, stretching. Wow. Reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that isn't when I see him face to face. Although, hallelujah, that's a part of the bargain. The upward call of God is the now life upon us. Right now. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. The upward call of God right now, pressing toward that goal, and it hinges back to that I may know him. Goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Verse 15, let's just read it. Therefore, as many as are perfect, hard English wording, ain't one of us perfect. Not a one. The word is also to be understood as mature. I think the context would put it in its place. Those who know him and are on track, verse 15, let us have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. When I climb Mount Shasta or whatever, I get to a certain point. I don't want to go backwards until I've gone all the way forward. And that is what the wording means. To what we've gained so far, don't lose it. Next foot. Next foot. Next foot. Keep moving ahead. And where my attitude is wrong, my thinking is wrong, my theology is wrong, my actions are wrong, he'll reveal that. Just give him the moment to do it. Oh yeah. I thought I was on target. Well, you are, but here's something we got to deal with. And I press on toward what he has for me. Let's open up for interaction. Yes. Thank you for the reminder, right? Thoughts or questions?
I sure wish Miss Kay had been here because she would have really, you know, she used to live on Mount Shasta. She would have really enjoyed your story. I tried taking notes and naming the places you named.
Okay, God willing, in the near future, it'll be online on our website so you can have her listen to it.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, that would have tickled her.
So, Dan, thank you for this message. I find it to be powerful.
Yes.
I'm fascinated with your calling our attention to the out of resurrection. And as I've gone through several translations here, they're kind of divided. You've forgotten. Resurrection itself is not the goal. It's a point toward the goal. But after the goal comes that maturity that allows us to walk through all the dangers, the temptations that we're faced with. Mm-hmm. We can't stop with the resurrection. The goal is beyond that, and that's where my citizenship
is. Nice. God willing, we'll be there real soon about that citizenship. Oh, by the way, you can read ahead. It's okay.
You in your own self have this, and everybody does, has this idea of pressing, what this means to press on. And I remember around the shop, being around automotive, I absolutely hated pressing bearings off. It's tons and tons and tons of pressure, and you don't know which way they're going to go, when they're going to pop loose. And it's like, they can be like shrapnel, literally.
Yeah.
I saw a guy poke one into his wrist and he about bled out before anybody got to him. This idea of pressing on is like slow, steady pressure. It's almost like it's an act of our own will, isn't it? It's leaning into it, basically. Do you feel?
I believe it is, yes. It has to be.
That comes from us. Mm-hmm. He says, I press on.
A decision.
But God's the one who gives us the will.
And the grace.
And the grace. Right?
To do it. Good. Thank you, Mark. And I thought through that, Mark, too, that there are other avenues of windows to look at it, illustrations, and that is an excellent one. Yeah. Joe, did you have?
What Mark was saying just made me think of the Christian life is an intentional life. We're not flocks of floating. That Paul, even in his, you know, we would look at such a successful Christian life, he's saying, no. I press on. I'm reaching forward constantly to know him. And then when you first mentioned that reminded, of course, of Jesus verified that same thing. He said, away from me, I never knew you. It's all about knowing each other. It's not about accomplishment or church, you know, life. It's about knowing that person of Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, David.
It seems to me that pressing on does not necessarily connote continuous action. I think pressing on also would include waiting upon God, to be still and wait for him to reveal himself, to be still and wait for him to make a way for something to happen. And I'm impressed upon that because of something that's recently happened in our lives. And it was when you're at the end of your rope, you pressed on as far as you can, and you're up against a solid wall, you cry out, Lord, I cannot do anything. I have tried everything. Help me. And you're silent, you're waiting for the Lord, and he speaks to you in that and makes a way for you.
Nice. That seems to me. And a number of scriptures just immediately come to my mind to address that. Appreciate that. Second Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 11, if anybody is wanting a place to turn to look at how that fleshed out in Paul's life. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. Thank you. Well, we're going into our communion time, and you're invited to be with us and enjoy this. Join with us, I meant to say. And enjoy it, yeah. Because it's a reminder for all of us that because of Christ, we together can do this. We can eat this piece of bread and know that it represents a very holy body that was broken in my place. We can drink this cup of juice and know that it represents the holy blood of Jesus that paid for my sin, for our sin. That's why we do it together. He has brought this salvation to us, for us, and we're saying, thank you, Lord, for that death. We proclaim it to you. Come. Cliff and Michael, I didn't talk to you guys, but come on up. And the brothers.
The gruesome twosome.
Whoa.
Mom likes him best.
He is the cutest, you know. Oh, praise God. Praise God for life in Christ. I don't think this time always has to be a sober, don't you dare smile time. There is a place for sure of just being honest before God and honest with ourselves too, of considering where we are, you know, and that needs to be contemplated. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about that we might come before him just humble, honest, not trying to pretend, not trying to be religious. Lord, thank you. Thank you for salvation. I'll read that scripture in just a few minutes. With Cliff are two gluten-free wafers, if you would like one of those instead of the other. The other is full of gluten. Let's go ahead and serve this, and then we'll come back, and I'd like to read the scripture and thank the Lord for it at that point. So yeah, get Cliff's attention if you need the gluten-free. I know some people absolutely do. Let's break one.
Can you break it?
Is
it
still working?
Can you
break it now?
Yeah. Jesus broke the bread. And he was
broken.
Oh, I have those yet.
Okay.
I have the other half of it. Sorry. Thanks for getting my attention. I covered this row, right?
We'll try to remind Erica that puts this together and has faithfully for years to include a few more of the gluten-frees. Thank you. The scripture is not new at all, but each time we read it, it's to be a reminder that this is a reminder. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. They didn't understand who he was yet. They did not understand that he was Messiah. It was a bit later. Yet he instilled it, he put this in place. He broke, after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later on, all except Judas did come to know Jesus as Messiah, as Savior. We do this not to make him that, but because he is that in our heart, in our life. Would you please return thanks for this? Thanks.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the price of your Son. His obedience to you, his love for us, far more than we can understand or comprehend. What it is to be broken for us. We appreciate it. We thank you. God, as we do this, in this time of remembrance, unique and special as we go through this, help us always remember, though, and to realize the cost that has been paid for us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. Eternally, always grateful.
As the cup is being handed out, Paul also went on to say, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. And for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged." So there's that place of just being honest with yourself and with the Lord.
You are holy. Lord, you are so different. We wish that we could understand you. We want to know you more intimately and personally, Lord, but there will always be a mystery, because just as a painter is different from the painting, and the painting does not understand or could even describe the intelligence and understanding of the painter, Lord God, we are just part of your creation. But that is just so much more wonderful, knowing that the depths of your understanding are endless.
Yes.
And your intimate knowledge of us is endless. And to have a Father like that, we give you honor and glory, Lord, and we ask that you would keep us in line, and that you would teach us, and that you would guide us through our week, Lord. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your mercy and your intimate love and kindness towards us. Amen.
Just a reminder that tonight at 6 o'clock is a baccalaureate service here. And if you're at all able, I'm going to ask you to honor Konya, our graduate. God bless you guys.